to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband. Obviously, automatically deleted again. It's obviously a frustrating aspect of it is that I did send a postcard to my wife today, and my assumption is I'll get it back. It was obviously, considering Thursday, we would normally be celebrating our 32nd wedding anniversary. I still desire that. And my guess is I'll get the card back, won't I? A couple things that I thought, because I want to, you know, I'm trying to work through a couple things constantly. But, because these are the things that get me in trouble. Gets me in trouble with other people. You know, yesterday, a couple days before, I watched a video from a gentleman, Gonzalo Lira. He's become somewhat popular of late because he's in Kharkov in Ukraine. And there are a lot of bombs going off around. And he was actually taken into custody by the Ukrainian, I think he called them goon squad. I forget what term he used. Because he's reporting. And he apparently has had various things seized. So he's still reporting, but... anyway, but he's an articulate person, which I respect. He's been able to describe things in tremendous detail. He's the one that I think first heard call Zelensky the crackhead of Kiev, because I mean it's a problem. You know, a few years ago he was just an actor. Now he's worth over $500 million. Where did that come from? In politics, really. Interesting. But anyway, but he did a video, I forget, it's 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, on crypto's collapse. And I'll leave you the link because I recommend it because of the way he articulated it well, because cryptocurrencies recently have just plummeted. And, you know, obviously people say, oh, it'll come back and whatnot. But see, one of the things that's so vital about that, and he actually explained it very well, is this back, you know, as I have pointed out for years, you know, we talk about the U.S. dollar being a fiat currency. It's backed by nothing. It's literally backed by nothing. You know, when I was a kid with my dad, we would do coin collecting and things of that nature, and we would get, every once in a while, you would get a dollar bill that was marked silver certificate on it, because it was the objective behind that is you could go to, allegedly, we've never done it, go to the bank and get and you know actual silver for that dollar. But of course now it's nothing. There's nothing. That's why I'm so fascinated that when you go get a loan, where does the money come from? It's just invented out of the thin air. It's anyway, but that's a whole other issue. But so, you know, the cryptocurrencies, oh, this is a solution. Take control away from, you know, the Bank of International Settlements and the Federal Reserve and so forth. But the reality is it's a fiat currency. The only reason the price goes up is because people say it has value. It's like somebody says this particular piece of art has value. It's not because of the particular piece of art. It's because what people say it has value. But it's not really there. And you know, so, anyway, but where does that money come from? It's only a perception by others. So you know, he gave an example that he was offered 2000, Bitcoin 2010, whatever, for $10,000, which would be a whole lot of money today. But where is that money coming from? It's not that it was suddenly some value was generated somewhere. It's just because the rise, the price has gone up, that you could turn around and sell it, but only if there's a buyer. And so the money that's coming in to give it to is somebody else putting up their money. That's why somebody who holds a whole lot of Bitcoin, if they suddenly attempted to sell it, the price would plummet if they attempted to sell it all at once, because it changed the dynamics of the market. But anyway, The whole point of that is, you know, I did the shofar coin thing some years ago. And the difference is, yes, indeed, it is a fiat currency in a sense, but it's backed by somebody saying, it's called the producer-issued credit. It's backed by somebody saying, I will give you this for, you know, when you redeem the currency, because there was time limits and so forth. But there's that aspect of it. But the other thing is, it's localized. So it's not that there's the one system, the U.S. dollar, the one system, Bitcoin. You know, because, again, as I've pointed out, Bitcoin is physically distributed but logically centralized. It's still a centralized currency like the U.S. dollar. But that was the point of shofar coin, because if somebody else collapses, your local currency in the community where you go buy your tomatoes and things of that nature doesn't. Because there's no direct way. But anyway, I was fascinated by Gonzalo Liro's explanation and the clarity of it. And that's what stood out, because I'm trying to find somebody who can express what I do with that kind of clarity. And I'm still having trouble. But there was another one, because last night after I did my voicemail, I listened to Declaration 4, Restoring Scientific Integrity. This is a group they started as a relatively small, it's the Global COVID Summit. It started as a relatively modest amount of doctors, and now they're up to like 17,000. So they've produced their fourth document, and basically this was an hour-long press conference kind of thing, not without the press there really, but this was not a class act in the sense it was hard to watch in the one sense, you know, even though nice stage and whatnot, but the content of the material was great. And I think that was important, because a couple things stood out. And again, it goes back to the idea of having somebody who can articulate it. They had a number of people point out a lot of things about the various things about COVID, and they're calling for the immediate termination of all vaccines because they're killing people. And, you know, I mentioned that from what I've previously seen, the numbers over 1 million deaths around the world from the vaccine. And they, I think, mentioned something like 6 million or more. But then again, there's, I would suggest, reasonable evidence that now I know somebody, Gary, who quite probably his death was accelerated by the vaccine. But, you know, the other thing that was stated in there is that masks are useless, which obviously I stated before. You know, a couple years ago, I said the masks are the armbands of 100 years ago. And, you know, the evidence is there. And I thought about that. A couple things. One thing is, I still have my pristine, unused mask here, because I now have one. because, you know, when I took my friend Jim Leonard to see a doctor, we went into the facility, and the receptionist there handed us both a mask, and Jim put his on, and I didn't. And when we got upstairs to another receptionist, they said, you're required to wear a mask. And I simply said, I have CO2 issues. And no one questioned me any further. I was willing to put it on if I had to, because my purpose was to be there for Jim. Fortunately, I did not have to. So I can still say I've never worn a mask. Because I'm not dogmatic in the sense that it's more important to be able to say that than my friend Jim. So I would have done it, but I'm grateful that I haven't. And again, I don't think people realize what I said. I'll say it again. I said I have CO2 issues. Everybody has CO2 issues. You know, again, OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, I think it is, came out with some studies years ago about the appropriate level of various things in the atmosphere that if it gets to a certain too high, too low, or whatever, would be considered harmful. And one was the level CO2. So you can get very cheap CO2 sensors. Stick it behind the mask, and you'll find that and not only can you do this on your own, but I have read numerous controlled randomized studies, trials, did this in a variety of ways to verify that this is true. Were cloth masks, the surgical mask, the disposable mask, all of them. Your CO2 level goes to the point where OSHA calls it unsafe, unhealthy. So rather than go to an unsafe level, that's why, again, people, the common complaint with people who have to wear masks is headaches, because your CO2 levels is higher than acceptable. So my statement was rational. My statement was true for everyone. Because, again, the masks are useless and potentially, they even stated, harmful. But, you know, so, again, so I saw two things here where somebody was articulating well. And I'd like to be able to find somebody who will do that on what I do. But what I do scares people. But of course, you know, one of the things the reason they've got up to, I think, 17,000 medical professionals is because so many people have lost their jobs. Because, you know, they say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not going to go kill people. It's contrary to the reason I got into the medical field. You know, so it's genocide. You know, again, I said 2 years ago, it's money, power, eugenics. That is the whole reason for the COVID fiasco, and the evidence that's coming is abundantly clear. So I'll leave you the links to both of those videos, it brought up two things, you know, because obviously I look at, you know, this thing about COVID and this thing about cryptocurrencies, and first thing that comes to mind is scripture, of course, right? Well, you know, and one of the things in the cryptocurrencies is, again, both with the U.S. dollar and with, especially with cryptocurrencies, how do you make money? By the as the price goes up, and the price goes up because somebody else thinks it's valuable, and so you can only sell it. You know, it was interesting, the one day that Elon Musk did an interview with Babylon Bee, which was kind of like, you know, an odd couple kind of thing. You know, one of the things he pointed out is, yes, he has a lot of money, but it's simply the perception. Because he has a lot of stock value in, like, Tesla and so forth. And so it's the valuation of the company. It's not really cash in hand. So when you look at somebody who's a large shareholder of a company, it doesn't mean they have that much money. They have that much value, but they can't go and sell it all, because if they said, okay, I want to sell it all, the price would plummet. So that money really isn't there. But anyway, that's the confusion. But the issue is people make money on the change of the value of currency. Has it been mentioned in the Bible? Yes. It's the money changer. Literally, it's the money changer. Because you can find where the story of the one talent, two talents, and five talents, and one earned another five, one earned another two, and so forth, and one didn't even invest it with the money changers. The point of, you earn it, you took the money and you used your own labor with those resources. That's the difference. As opposed to the money changer who's making money in the manipulation of money. And if you recall, the one time Jesus took a whip, money changers. And do you think it's any different to the money changers today, as in the bankers, the financial investors, and things of that nature? I would suggest not. And of course, we think of the major players, the big banks and whatnot, but the individuals, the small players who are going investing in Bitcoin for that same purpose, you're a money changer. Same thing. I'm not going to get long. Okay, we discussed a verse today, Ephesians 5:11, because obviously there's a number of issues going on. I talked again about the woman who was killed in Israel. There was the mass shooting issue of yesterday, day before, and obviously Ukraine, the Roe v. Wade issue, and all sorts of things are and a lot of it is based on, you know, a lot of it's just an underlying evil, or works of darkness. So Ephesians 5:11, take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So we discussed that a little bit today. And I'd studied this once before, because the word is elenko, the idea of expose them, because you see this in numerous places. One I find extremely important, because it's a vital verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, elenko, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. And as I studied it, there's the reproof and correction. So it's going both ways. So I can study the scripture to go to a brother, hopefully, and correct him. But at the same time, it corrects me, because I'm not the authority. So, and that's why the mutual engaging with scripture, with others, because you can develop blind spots. I've done it. I know it. And when somebody else can say, I don't think you got it right, that's a wonderful thing. Because if you don't have it right, you can be corrected. If you have it partially right, you can perhaps see more. And that's marvelous. But the other place that I find so vital, because I studied this a year or two ago, the other place you see this, Leviticus 19. And this is the big deal. Verse 17, you shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly, elenko, with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. And what is the context of this? You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall, here it comes, love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You know, this is one of the two greatest commandments. And this is the source of it. And again, the important thing is it's not simply a good idea. It's because of the authority of God, the last part of it. I am the Lord. So it's God's authority that says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. It's not a good idea. It's a command. But one of the ways you do that, because if you look at Leviticus 19, verse 18 is basically the pinnacle. And a good part, or the bulk of the rest of the chapter and nearby chapters, is telling you how to apply it. But the verse before, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. Certain people are coming to mind. But you shall reason frankly with your neighbor. And then, of course, who is your neighbor? This is the story of the Good Samaritan. And we're called to go and do likewise. So I would suggest, again, it shows that the Bible is consistent. A consistent, it's a love letter. I want to engage people. I want to engage people because there are areas that I might be wrong on. I want to engage people because, some of the other verses we looked at in reference to this, I don't know if I have it up still, but in, I think it's in Timothy, anyway, but it's call them out publicly. So the others will say, "Oh, I don't want to do that." And there's a fear and trepidation in that, because if you call someone out publicly for their sin, you have to make sure about your heart. Because if my heart is, "I'm going to get you," or "I'm getting revenge," or whatnot, I've got the problem. But you can call someone out for their sin as an act of love. It's the idea of, "Oh, let's go evangelize the world so we can get more people into the institutional church." it's more important to go to your brother and draw your brothers closer to Christ. And Well, again, the example I've used before, I used it, I think, recently. When James Graveling called me out for my attitude about my own life 10 years ago. And that was a good correction because I was wrong. I would have preferred, by far, when I was politically involved, if somebody would have challenged me, saying, not that you, again, not that you're, let's refine your techniques or this, that, or that. No, you're wrong. Don't go here. This is not a place for the follower of Christ, because Genesis 1, Deuteronomy 17, 1 Samuel 8, and the Gospels, anyway. But I want that correction. I wish I would have had it more. And I have to be careful when I strive. You know, again, it was these two things, the crypto collapse and this restore scientific integrity in reference to COVID-19. There was an effort there to express things, to proclaim things, and especially for the second, to say, hey, we got a problem here. So, you know, and that's the other thing that, because it stays so much on my mind. This group of doctors, again, it was really a staged presentation. But anyway, the information was very solid. And, you know, they can back it up with paper after paper after paper. Of actual studies, and one of the comments was made was that people like, Fauci is one, was Guterres, whatever the guy, the head of WHO and whatnot, says these people need to be prosecuted. And I thought, well, that was, you know, that's a bold statement, but of course that's another issue, but because it's genocide, it is genocide. And of course, that includes Bill Gates, was a eugenicist. So it's only appropriate. They make a direct challenge to the medical community, to political leaders, people who at least claim to have authority, and say, "Stop this! You're killing people." It takes some courage to do that, especially when those people in authority will take your jobs, like happened in Canada, take your money. It's happened in many places. They put you in jail, put you in these isolation facilities like the massive ones that were built in Australia and whatnot. All these things are a price that you have to pay to proclaim that COVID is a fallacy. The vaccines are a killer and masks are useless. But there's that aspect of it. And there's the other aspect that I mentioned from Denis Rancourt, who talked about if someone has been wearing the mask and then finds out that it was stupid, they can't stop, because that would be a confession. What I did was dumb. I submitted to a fallacy. I've been living a lie. And pride will keep you from saying, no, I was wrong. It's the comment I made, or I pointed out about Tacitus, about when you hurt somebody, you now have to hate them. Because if you reconcile with them, it's going to be an embarrassment to you. It's the same idea over and over again. And so it gets back down to, what is my objective with Jim Cross, Rhonda Keynes, Chris Bitterman, with my wife? I want to show you you're wrong and get you back. Not at all. Not at all. Again, like Romans 12, and it's wherever in the Old Testament so many times. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. I'm not after vengeance. I'm after reconciliation. I'm after I'm trying to do the Galatians 2 as Paul did to Peter, so that Peter will come back in 2 Peter 3 and say, my beloved brother Paul, I'd like to have that relationship with Jim Cross. I'd like to have that with Render Keynes and Chris Bitterman. And especially as Thursday comes up, I want to have it with my wife. You know, it gets to the question because, you know, I have a long list of things to do. I mentioned I sat through my intro series Sunday. Number of hours, like 5-6 hours of video. It's kind of like, well, I did a lot for intro, didn't I? And I still want to do a conclusion, and I haven't because I have a huge list of things, and which is the grace of God. I'm busy. I'm not just simply staring into space. I have too much to do, which, again, is God's grace. But you know, I have this problem of late. I have too many things in my mind, put too many things on my mind, and I lose track. But anyway, I want to restore the relationship with my wife. The anniversary is in 2 days. It's very much on my mind. But the issue was, and I still don't know an answer for this, because when she and I met, I was the guy who was the pro-life advocate. I was proclaiming, I was involved with a pregnancy care center in Greensboro. I was involved with North Carolina Right to Life. I was a very active fellow. Ended up being the head of both the Greensboro chapter of North Carolina Right to Life and of the pregnancy care center. I was into it. Because, I don't know, it just doesn't seem like a good idea to kill people. It just, maybe it's something, I don't know why. But I also was driving a nice, shiny new BMW. And I remember, you know, there was the comment from Jim Cross just after we got married, just after we got married. Yeah, I think he used the term son-in-law. He says, my son-in-law makes more money than I do. And at the time, I did. You know, I've had times when I made serious cash and I misused it. You know, I blew it. I was wrong. But where was my wife's heart? Did she get won over by a guy who was striving to be in obedience to Christ, proclaim the value of life? Or is it a guy who can make a lot of money? You know, before we ever met, I was dining with Ray Kassar, the chairman of Atari, getting a very large advance from Taito America because of Ray Kassar for a video game. And there was literally millions right there in my hand if I would have done things right. In the grace of God, that collapsed. And I'm grateful because that industry... Again, Ray Kassar's comment that I didn't find out about until many years later is he looked at people like me as high-strung prima donnas. It's in that video, An Authorized History of Video Games, where he says that, well, I was one of those high-strung prima donnas. And, you know, because he did the wining and dining kind of thing, you know, flashed the money around kind of stuff, put us in a nice, really nice hotel rooms and stuff of that nature. I didn't go there. Would my wife have been happier with me if I had and would have been able to show up with lots of money? You know, she has Peter Cross, was a pastor, ended up becoming a worked for one of these financial stock investment companies, and kind of like, well, yeah. And now I would say that's a really a problem business. Again, it's a money changer. But I was the one, he was looking at the prices on the New York Stock Exchange. I was at the New York Stock Exchange putting my equipment in there, and literally made $1 million in the stock market. but by selling product as opposed to the change of price. So I wonder. And of course, we were married at the time when that happened. Was that the thing she wanted? I made a lot of mistakes because I was seeking the things of this world. I was wrong. I was very wrong. I made a huge number of mistakes because I lived like it was going to continue, and I was wrong. My primary goal, if indeed the sale of Rapid RMS happens the next however many weeks, is Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything. My desire is to become debt-free, and that's a real possibility. I want that because that's more important than getting a brand new BMW. Is that shared by my wife? Are the things of this world too important to her? Or is it obedience to Christ? Is she taking part in unfruitful works of darkness? Is she basing her hopes on, like cryptocurrencies, it's fiat. It's there because people say it's there. It's not real. It's nothing you can grab onto. It's grasping oil with the hand. Our strive in life is obedience to Christ. It's shown in what chapter is that? Oh, that's Old Testament, isn't it? Leviticus 19. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Again, and then of course, same words, that same word is in the 2 Timothy 3, 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God. The theonostos. The consistent message. What did he breathe out? The word to say, reason frankly with your neighbor. When we saw the distress in his soul, when he begged us, and we would not listen. That would be kozlowski.org. He begged us. And they're not listening. They're running and hiding. So I will strive to follow in the model of Paul. And instead, expose them in hopes of somebody being able to say to me, both directions, our beloved brother. Anyway, my lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, Thursday marks 32 years. One of the greatest things that ever happened in my life was that day. And it's not that we became sexually active. It's because we became one. There was a level of commitment, one that I'm still living. I'm, keeping the promise. I remember how much constantly hold your hand when we would go places, do things. I remember looking at your face. And the person I saw was the one I was one with committed to and remain committed to wholeheartedly, unwaveringly to this day. After 32 years, I will not turn from you. Even though for almost 10 now, you've abandoned me. I didn't make it on the money thing, did I? But the follower of Christ, if that's the guy you wanted, that is the guy you married. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, I love you and I want you back.